You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
These are the times that try men's souls. In the course of our nation's history, the people have rallied bravely whenever the rights of men have been threatened. Today, a new crisis has arisen. Citizens, hear me out. This could happen to you.
People think I'm controversial, but the truth is, I'm a nice guy. And we're going to have a lot of fun tonight.
I'm upset, outraged, and angered.
Everything you said was all a lie?
What I say is what I say.
Okay, I want a damn concerted effort. This a god last damn time. I want somebody use his brain.
This is a job for
John Peterson
and
Marty
Young.
You're from the 60s.
I will tell you, this is going to be something special.
Just a show about nothing.
I don't have any answers for you. I don't give interviews. I just want to be left alone.
Hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and my sister.
What is this? Ponderous, man. Ponderous. Ponderous.
Yes, ponderous. Well, I've heard that before. We've got about, 51 degrees, I believe, high around 71 today. John and Gordy in the morning. Gordy's out today and producer Sam filling in. And we are having discussions here about what's going on with the economy. And now we're going to talk about RFK Jr. But before we even get to RFK Jr., we were talking off the air here about Pete Hegseth and his meltdown at the Easter egg roll.
Did he even say? You didn't tell me.
Oh, well, we're going to play it right now. All right, this is cut 228, and it was such a hot mess that, I'm sitting I try to ignore the stuff he's normally talking about, but I just happen to be listening to it. And it was so ridiculous. It was so over the top and so unbelievable. And by the way, it was described this way in one of the media sources. Pete Hegseth's children cringe as father melts down in front of media. So it was funny watching the kids' faces. I mean, they've heard dad talk like this before, And the fact that he was an anchor on the weekends where you just have to keep talking and talking and talking just to make,
like we do, just to fill time.
Just to fill time.
Right.
So he's doing it on this particular occasion, talking about, the leaks and signal, and he's just melting down. It's just a word salad that is just priceless to listen to. And remember now, his kids are making faces behind him as he's saying this. Listen to this.
Hoaxsters. This group, this group right here, full of hoaxsters.
What do you want to say, sir, about the signal chat controversy?
What a big surprise that a few leakers get fired and suddenly a bunch of hit pieces come out from the same media that peddled the Russia hoax. Won't give back their Pulitzers. They got Pulitzers for a bunch of lies.
No, it's true.
Pulitzers for a bunch of lies. And on hoaxes, time and time and time again. And as they peddle those lies, no one ever calls them on. See, this is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me, because we're changing the Defense Department, putting the Pentagon back in the hands of warfighters, and anonymous smears from disgruntled former employees on old news doesn't matter. So I'm happy to be here at the Easter egg roll with my dad and my kids. Because, this is what we're doing it for. These kids right here. This is why we're fighting the fake news media. This is why we're fighting slash and burn Democrats. This is why we're fighting hoaxsters. Hoaxsters. This group right here. Full of hoaxsters that peddle anonymous sources from leakers with axes to grind, and then you put it all together as if it's some news story.
Yeah.
And when we know it, we know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud of what we're doing for the president, fighting hard across the board, and I'm going to go roll some Easter eggs with my kids. Thank you very much. Have spoken to the president, and we are going to continue fighting on the same page all the way.
Yes, indeed. Nothing like scrambling, trying to at least save whatever he was trying to say front of his kids, who were really embarrassed and didn't want to hear any more of it. I'm sure they hear it at home all the time.
So I didn't watch this on TV. How old are his kids, if you had to guess?
Like, I think about 14.
Oh, okay. 15, so they know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're very aware of it. And it was embarrassing. I feel sorry for him at this point. I do.
Yeah.
It says here, somebody texted in, I've seen that look that the Hegseth kids had. That's the look of kids who have an alcoholic, abusive parent who's about to go off. Wow. Yes. Yes, that's a great observation. And they were paralyzed by fear of what comes next.
Yeah, good thing they were in a public place, I guess.
Absolutely. And thank you for that text. Puts it in perspective.
You want to go to the phone?
Oh, yes. Let's go to the phone. Mark, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I saw an article this morning that I haven't read the whole thing up, but apparently they want to treat our deportations like Amazon, that I guess we're opening, there's a whole bunch of private prisons opening up, you know, that central holding facilities for deportees, and, you know, to quickly, you know, round them up and hold them like, you know, some kind of warehouse so we can, you know, ship them out without any trial. You know, according to Trump, you know, we don't need no trials, you know, that, and
yes.
It is just so ironic for a man who has availed himself, you know, that in spite of his claim, oh, it's being weaponized against me, has had full use of the court system to defend himself, you know, and
right.
Repeated, you know, appeals to his, you know, convictions and reversals in court, and he doesn't appreciate the fact that the Constitution, which he took an oath to uphold, in spite of the fact he didn't touch the Bible, the oath is still binding to him to adhere to the Constitution, which guarantees, you know, people the right to their day in court. I mean, citizen or not, I mean, that the most wretched criminal, the most horrific criminal, is entitled to their day in court, and these people have done nothing more than did what Donald Trump's grandfather did, escaping Germany, you know, after going back, you know, making his money in the United States as a whoremonger, and going back to Germany, then didn't want to serve in the military there, and coming back to the United States, and it is just sad that the man just, and the Republican Party in mass is not condemning
right.
him actually saying that.
They're 100% behind him, and again, the quote of the week is, there's no time for trials. That just about says it all, doesn't it?
Well, it's like
no time.
Wasn't there an old movie, No Time for Sergeants?
Yes, there was. Yes. Now there's no time for trials. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
Mark.
Guys.
I appreciate it. It's crazy stuff. All right. Let's move on to RFK Jr. He's got some crazy stuff going, and it's going to have a big impact on.
When doesn't he have some crazy
stuff
going?
Oh, I know, but this is, you know, I mean, it's just. The floodgates are open at this point.
I didn't actually look at what story you have on here. So right now, and the headline that you've got just like made my eyes go wide, and I'm like, wait, what?
No, it's true.
So tell us what it is.
Well, he's suspending milk quality testing. That's right. They don't have time. They don't have time for this. They don't have the expertise to do it anymore because, you know, they've done a lot of paring down of employees at the FDA. So let's listen to a comment here. This is a Web Wisdom talking about the story RFK Jr. is putting in place. They're going to suspend the testing of milk. Let's listen.
The FDA is suspending its milk quality testing right now. There was an email that was sent out yesterday from the FDA's Division on Dairy Safety saying that due to budget cuts and staff cuts, they are no longer able to provide routine testing for grade A milk and other dairy products. It is unclear if and when this milk quality testing by the FDA will be resumed. And this is not the first time they've done significant cuts to the safety of our food supply. On April 18th, they cut the Food Emergency Response Network, which was involved in quality testing for various food products. Now, you may be wondering with this news what to do to help keep you and your family safe. And here's a couple of ideas to consider. One is that if you drink cow's milk, instead of getting pasteurized milk, look for ultra-pasteurized milk, where the milk is cooked at higher temperatures, which is more likely to kill off more microbes and have a longer shelf life.
That's right.
And lastly, you should speak up if this is something that concerns you. Talk with your local representatives about how food safety is really important and that these cuts can be potentially harmful. So it's important to reach out to them to make sure that not only you're safe, but your community is as safe as possible.
All right. That's it. Good summation. And it's crazy to even think that this is going on currently. It's due to reduced capacity in its food safety and nutrition division of the FDA, and the suspension is another disruption to the nation's food safety program, it says here, after the termination and departure of about 20,000 employees. This is crazy stuff, and it's going to affect everybody in this country, and it's not good news here in Wisconsin. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm sure that they'll probably keep on with their current food safety practices.
Yeah, next time we talk to Pam Yockey, we got to pick her brain about it.
Yes. Yes, we'll definitely do that. Then, of course, RFK Jr. is setting in motion a disease registry tracking autistic people. This is pretty insane stuff. And again, you know, we're used to it now with DOGE going into every department, going through the personal information of the employees and the information of the general public. He's got all our information now. So this shouldn't come as a surprise. RFK Jr. is getting in on the action. The National Institutes of Health is helping to collect private medical records from government and commercial databases to give the Secretary of Health and Human Services all this information. The records include, get this, prescription records from pharmacies, lab testing, and genomic records the Department of Veterans Affairs and Indian Health Services have, private insurance claims, and data from smartwatches and fitness trackers. Oops, I guess I'm going to be in on that again.
What in the world do they want all this data for?
Commerce Department's coming after me, and now the National Institute of Health is looking after me. They're going to use all this information. They're also working on an agreement to secure Medicare and Medicaid data as well. They want to get into those records. So they're doing this in order to track autistic individuals and the number of autism that that's going. What am I trying to say here? I guess here's the thing with autism. They have added more individuals to the spectrum. They have, and that's why the numbers have grown. RFK Jr. doesn't seem to understand that aspect of it. We are able to identify autism a little bit more and better these days, and it's making it look like more people are autistic. That isn't necessarily true. We're just seeing it more, and we have different levels on that spectrum. So anyway, they're data mining every one of us in the U.S. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments. We've got wonderful, wonderful story here. I can't even break
the news. You can't even tell us the headline?
I can't tell you what it is.
We've also got Brittany Merlot coming up.
Oh, yes. Let's get to that.
Take a look at the weather this week.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
This show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison, if you didn't know that. And one thing remains the same about Verlo Mattress ever since its founding in 1958.
The adjustable frames?
No, it's not the adjustable frames. Okay. Maybe they had them in 1958. I don't know. They're still direct to consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. And if you want a Verlo mattress, you can check them out at two locations in Madison, on the east side and west side, or online at verlo.com. Did you know all that?
I did know that.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Just telling you once again.
I heard it on this show a few times. All right. It is time once again to check in with WMDX's weather person. It is Brittany Merlot in the wings. You got to tell us what's going on in the weather, because I have not emphasized it here on the morning program today. So fill us in. I mean, it's a gorgeous looking morning so far. Gonna stay that way?
No, unfortunately.
Damn.
I'm the bearer of bad news always, but I'll take that. So we've got this low pressure system right now. It's pushing into the southwestern part of the state. It's headed your way. And of course, it's bringing some light rain with it. So we're probably going to see some drizzle start to move in within the next 30, 45 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. That'll be on and off through about 10 a.m. Then it looks to end. We get a little bit of spots of sunshine. We warm things up today. Highs in the mid-60s, so feeling pretty good. And then, of course, the front is sitting right over us. The warm front will be moving through the state. And it's going to spark up chances for more scattered showers and maybe some thunder this afternoon.
I like that.
I think mainly between 4 to 6 or so would be that time frame. And then we could have another round push in late tonight, maybe after 10 or so. Some light rain continues overnight. It stays pretty mild, too. You can leave your windows open. Lows falling to 50. Have you done that yet?
Yes. Oh, yes. Good. I mean, it really was warm last night for some crazy reason. Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. But, you know, with this, of course, we get patchy fog early tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. We'll be partly sunny by the afternoon. Not a bad day again. We hang on to the mid-60s tomorrow before that system moves in even harder. We're going to see rain ramping up tomorrow overnight, and then it should be gone by late Friday morning. And then we dry things out, and we've got a gorgeous weekend ahead. A little bit cooler on Friday. Highs will be in the upper 50s. But by Saturday, we're back to the low 60s. And by Sunday, right about 70 degrees again.
You know, my wife got a notification from Google, I guess, you know, the pictures that we took last year, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And she showed me this thing. Last year, we had like 3 feet of snow.
Ooh.
Yeah, three feet of snow. Same time last year. That was like 4 days ago. So I don't know if it had all melted off, but by this time. But yeah, it's crazy stuff. So I'm so happy that we have weather like this. You know that I want to put away my winter clothes. And man, I think it's time, right?
I think it's time.
I do. All right.
Yeah, do
well, thank
it.
You. Thank you for endorsing that.
Of course. I put my winter coat away a couple of weeks ago, and I was just bearing through it on the colder nights. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got the heavy shirts out yet, but sadly, I had these really nice plaid heavy shirts that I purchased. I didn't know that they would shrink once I washed them. Yeah, and now they're all way too small to wear.
They just make you look buff now, right?
Yeah, well, no, yeah, that's right. It's working out. That's what's doing it. All right, Brittany, thanks for the weather forecast. Appreciate it.
Yes.
All right.
Have a good day.
Okay, you too. This is John and Gordy in the morning. Gordy is out today, but he'll probably be back tomorrow as well. I want to get to a really important story here, and this is an admission that the Republicans are going to take cuts to Medicaid. Representative Austin Scott brazenly admitted that Republicans want to scale back Medicaid, according to the story. Now, I want you to remember, Republicans in this state warned everyone, and that's why they didn't pick up on expansion, that the federal-state split, 90-10, 90% from the federal government, 10% for the state, wasn't written in stone. And those damn Democrats, they're deceiving you. It's not going to be 90-10 forever. Those Democrats, they're going to change it. Well, the Democrats didn't change it. The Republicans are. So let's listen to cut 226. And this is an admission what they're going to do with Medicaid expansion. And boy, is this going to hit the southern states that took them up on this.
When the Dems expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, they made that percentage match 90-10. So the federal government is paying 90% of the Medicaid expansion. And so what we have talked about is moving that 90% level of the expansion back towards the more traditional levels of 50 to approximately 80% instead of the 90-10, 90% being federal, 10% being state match. And nobody would be kicked off of Medicaid as long as the governors decided that they wanted to continue to fund the program. And so we are going to ask the states to pick up and pay some additional percentage of the Medicaid percentage.
There you go. So it's always projection with them. They tell you what they really want to do, but they blame the Democrats for planning on doing it, and it's not true. It never is. but they want to do it, and they're just chomping at the bit to do this instead of letting the Democrats do it. And they are going to start cutting Medicaid and bring it down to 80% from the federal government, 20% for the states. And the states are going to have to voluntarily do that, and they're not going to do it. Some, I guess, I understand some of the states have actually added it to their state constitution.
Really?
So now they're going to have to pay.
Well, I guess we finally have something to spend our states, what is it, $4
billion? $4 billion, yeah.
Budget now, surplus on? Well, that's what we can spend it
we
on.
We didn't put it in the constitution, but they're going to have to, well, you know, we didn't take them up on it. All right, because, well, it's, you know, we're like Louisiana. That's basically it. So, I don't know. You know, this Medicaid thing, if we would just please go to a universal health care system, we wouldn't have to dink around with certain levels of Medicaid. We wouldn't have to do Medicare and certain different parts of Medicare. We don't have to pay for that out of our Social Security checks when we finally get those. If we still get those, we just need to go to a universal health care system in this country. My God, I think the public is ready for it. I think there's like 70% of the public do want a universal health care system. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back with Mike McCabe from Substack in just a few moments.
Don't let friends drive anywhere without listening to 92.7 WMDX.
That's right. Drive fast. That's what we always say here.
Drive fast while watching us on your phone.
Yes, exactly. As you listen to the Civic Media app and then text us in whatever you think. We'd love to hear from you. Right now, it's time once again, as we always do on Wednesday morning, and that is to talk to Mike McCabe from Substack, a blogger there, and plus the author of Miracles Along County Q. Your latest Substack article is something I think is really, really interesting, and we've been talking about what the Democrats are doing or not doing, and you touch on that in this article as well. But could you just kind of introduce us to what you're saying in the article, which is entitled At a Loss? What's it all about, Mike?
Well, the article starts out by saying that there comes a time when words fail us, and we're in one of those times where even the vocabulary that we use to talk about politics doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
We use labels, and we slap labels on each other, like conservative or liberal.
Or MAGA.
And, you know, you take the word conservative, by definition, you look it up in the dictionary, it means caution and stability. And today's conservatives, the people who like to call themselves conservative, are intentionally creating chaos.
Yeah.
That's what they do. And of course, conservatives always preached limited government. And the crowd that now says they're conservative wants a very intrusive and even oppressive government. And
they always want to preserve what's in place.
Well, traditionally conservatives, yes, wanted to keep things more or less the way they are. They certainly, any change needed to be very gradual.
Very gradual, yeah.
But they were really the champions of the status quo.
Yes,
because the status quo benefited them. They liked things the way they were because the way things were good for them.
But now
they want to blow stuff up and tear things down, and they're the ones who want radical change.
I always thought that they liked the status quo because if there was change, and it was usually by the Democrats, it was change that the public wanted. and it would be an advantage for the Democrats to pass something that the public wanted. So they wanted to keep things the same to prevent the Democrats from having us move on to the future.
Well, but if you're a rich white guy, you like it when rich white guys do really well well, and have everything to their advantage, mm-hmm. and have everything sort of rigged in their favor. Mm-hmm. And so conservatives, if they had those kinds of conditions, they wanted to hold on to them. They didn't want to let other people get ahead because they saw it as getting ahead at their expense.
Yes.
So they were for the status quo, but now you've got this gang that says they're conservative, but they're not for stability. They're not for caution. They're for chaos. They're not for limited government. They're for an extremely intrusive government and an oppressive government. And they're doing ICE raids. And they want government in the bedroom. They want government in the locker rooms. They want government out on the playing fields. There's not a place where they don't want government control. It's really become topsy-turvy, and this vocabulary now fails us. And the weird thing is that progressives have traditionally been the ones that have sought reform. They've sought change. They've pushed the envelope. They've wanted to innovate and invent and forge new paths. And now progressives have been put in the position of playing defense all the time, just trying to preserve existing institutions, protect long-standing programs and policies that they fought for generations ago, that were put in place 50, 60,
these
80 years
ago. These were victories a long time ago.
A long time ago. These were major advances. These were economic and social advances that pushed society forward. But now today's progressives are in the position of simply trying to hold on to those gains, mm-hmm. rather than think about what's next and how to, again, push society forward. So it's weird in a way.
Yeah.
Today's progressives are true conservatives. They're saying, wait a second, not so fast. Yeah. Let's slow down. Let's keep things more or less the way they are. That's a weird condition that we've gotten ourselves into. The progressives are conservative. The conservatives are these radical insurrectionists.
Exactly. And yet they call us they call Democrats and progressives and liberals, they call them radical.
Yeah, and I think it's because they want to keep they just want to keep people thinking that progressives aren't simply trying to preserve those old institutions and programs. And they want to keep progressives on defense.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that when you look at the political arrangement today, it's those so-called conservatives who are playing offense and the so-called progressives who are playing defense. And that's something I think we have to be conscious of, and we have to think about, and we have to take to heart. Because progressivism only works if progressives are imagining what the future can look like, mm-hmm. and pushing for that future.
Yeah.
And when that stops, and when you're forever playing defense, that's a problematic place to be.
For the last 20 years, I've been preaching, please go on offense.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
They have been creating the topics, and we've been fighting against those topics.
Correct.
Instead of introducing our own plans.
Correct.
And I think the big idea I had this time around was that if we just started early, and today is early, we could do this. If we just had an agenda that I think universal health care coverage, which is off the scales as far as public approval, if we just really emphasized that, we'd be battling two battles at once. It would be first introducing something that everybody wants, and second, it would battle against what they want to do now currently, like making cuts to Medicaid. And then they're going to go after Obamacare, even though they did defend Obamacare at the Supreme Court level and won, essentially, preserving the ability for people to get examinations,
pre-existing conditions.
Pre-existing conditions, but also preventive care.
Mm-hmm.
Free preventive care before
disease gets out of control. I know we've talked about this before, but when it comes to labels, I've been I've been one to say, let's stop thinking left to right. Let's stop thinking about who's on, way on the left and who's way on the right and who's in the middle, but rather start thinking from top to bottom. Yeah, think vertically. And instead of thinking about conservatives and progressives, think about royals and commoners. Think about, you know, think about it that, think about American politics that way. You know, who's got the power? Who's got the amplified voice? Who's playing offense in our society? It's the billionaire class. It's the the ultra wealthy, and so it really is royals and commoners, and that's a different way to describe American politics. But I think it's a more accurate way of describing the current moment, where you've got this ruling class, this billionaire class that is sort of lording over ordinary folks, and they're doing such a they're just doing such a strategic, surgical job of dividing and conquering working class people.
Yeah.
Getting people to see each other as enemies when they're all commoners. They're all being lorded over, but those doing the lording have got those folks at each other's throats.
That's true.
Seeing each other as enemies. They've done that with surgical precision. Yeah. And we have to see it for what it is, and then you unless you recognize it, acknowledge it, and name it, it's really hard to fight it. And that's what we've got to do is build alliances between people who are being lorded over by that billionaire class.
Yeah, the vertical look at all of this. Thanks for reining me in. I always get to the left and right. But you're right.
And,
you
know, left and right, no.
But like the left and right are battling each other when they shouldn't be.
Exactly, and we're still using vocabulary that sort of plays into that kind of fight rather than redefining the fight in ways that could actually let us make some progress.
Yeah. Well, I think that somewhere along the way, if we get at least on the offense, we can make some advances and some moves in the right direction. But again, you brought up earlier that it seems like we've been backed into this corner, and I'm talking about, you know, pro-democracy individuals. We've been backed into a corner by trying to protect the current system of government the way we have it, because we're losing it all. It's being shredded away from us, and we're trying to keep it and protect it. And that is not very progressive. At the same time, you know, we want to progress, but we don't have time for that agenda.
Right.
We don't have time to bring it up. Right. You know, we're saying, geez, save this department, save that department. Stop taking away this from the NIH. You know, stop taking away, our rights in the government. But, you know,
yeah, and don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all these things are worth preserving.
Yes.
And millions and millions of Americans depend on these things. They have extraordinarily great value. But while we're trying to preserve those things, we also have to say it's not enough for seniors to have economic security. We need to have economic security for people of all ages, Americans at every phase of life.
They call it a universal basic income.
And Medicare and Medicaid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those are important. Those are valuable programs that many millions of Americans depend on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not enough for there to be health security for the aged or for disabled
for
people.
Everybody.
Exactly. We need to have universal health security in this country. And that's a drum that needs to be, we need to keep beating, even as we're scrambling to keep Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and so many other important things from being torn apart.
Well, you know, it would get rid of a lot of the problems we think we have. Fraud and abuse.
Yeah.
How do you have fraud and abuse when you just have an open healthcare system? You know, you get treated when you need to get treated instead of somebody trying to take you on it. You know, it's so simple. It simplifies the whole system.
Yeah.
And I think the society itself would be freed up. We wouldn't be worried about it constantly. I think anybody, is constantly worried about their health care and how they're going to pay for something if something did happen, and it's usually an accident or, you know, something unexpected, and we don't have the money to pay for it.
Right. And it's not only medical anxiety. It's not only people worried about their health, whether they can get medical attention when they need it. There is that anxiety, but there's also economic anxiety that comes with neglecting to ensure health security for all Americans, because everybody realizes I'm a pink slip away from not being able to go to the doctor.
That's right.
If I lose my job, my whole family's in trouble, deep trouble, because we can't afford medical attention then. And so that makes people cling to a job that maybe they would move on from to start a new business, to start some kind of enterprise. It really inhibits our economy when people are so afraid for their health security.
Yeah.
And it makes people reluctant to take risks, economic risks, that would be beneficial to all of society. If somebody took that great idea that they've had for decades and decided to act on it and start a new business or some kind of new enterprise, and instead they say, no, I can't afford to give up this job that I hate, that I really would like to move on from, but I can't give it up because that's where we get our health insurance.
Well, you know, that's one thing. It just occurred to me that the Republicans are doing with cuts to Medicaid. They want to require work. So in a way, if you're unemployed or underemployed and you don't have health care, it forces you to work for somebody or a job that you don't want to be at just to get your health care. It's like being a prisoner of a corporation where you get your health care. You got to stay there or you'll lose your health care.
And a whole bunch of Americans are feeling imprisoned that way.
Yeah.
And we need to be talking about how to get America to a better place.
That's right. We've got more coming up here. We're talking to Mike McCabe from Substack.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. Gordy is out today, and we have as our special guest Mike McCabe from Substack and also author of Miracles Along County Q.
But before we get back to Mike, I just want to let you know that this show, the John and Gordy Show, is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. And one thing remains the same about Verlo Mattress since they were founded in 1958 is that they're still direct to consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. Did you know that, John?
I did know that.
Because I told you about 20 minutes ago, right?
Yes.
Verlo Mattresses are available at two locations in Madison, on the east side and west side, or online at verlo.com.
All right. We'll get Maddie the mattress in here someday. What an interview that's going to be.
I hear he likes skiing.
I hear he or she doesn't like black spray paint. You heard about that, right? You found a mattress on the side of the road and put, what did you?
I put a station advertisement on it.
Yes.
spray paint.
All right. We got a few texts here. The conservative label may not fit, but regressive fits. And a few other comments about universal health care and a fair tax code. We could start with that, too. But I think we've been yelling about that for years. And now that we have oligarchs in charge, we want to tax the wealthy and the rich. And that's what it's kind of all about. Your latest article is At a Loss. And in it, you wrote something throwing and paying customers overboard.
Yeah.
Explain this one.
Toward the end of the article, I actually bring up Bill Proxmire, the former U.S. senator from Wisconsin, and Elon Musk, and you know, because Proxmire was best known for his Golden Fleece awards that would lampoon government waste, and so I was asked at a talk when I brought up Proxmire's legacy, if what I thought about the similarities between Proxmire and Elon Musk, And my answer was the two couldn't be more different. Mm-hmm. The two are night and day. Because what Proxmire did was aimed at trying to make government better. He wanted to make sure that government was a responsible steward of public funds so that taxpayers would get their money's worth. And what Musk is really doing is trying, along with Trump, is trying to wreck government, to render it incapable of investigating it or overseeing his companies, for example.
Exactly.
But also to set the stage for the continuation of tax cuts for the wealthy, mm-hmm. that will cost some $4 trillion if those cuts are extended. So what is being done today is really being done to further enrich the billionaire class. The actions they're taking are the actions of the classic bully. They are inflicting the greatest pain on those least able to fight back. Mm-hmm. They're going after the most vulnerable segments of our population, which is despicable. But they're not gouging programs that are, are widely popular with the upper middle class or the wealthy. Mm-hmm. They're going after the things that people who are the most vulnerable need. And every bully ever has done exactly that. They identify the weakest on the playground and they inflict the greatest pain on those who aren't able to fight back. And that's what's happening here. So to me, what Proxmire did was aimed at trying to make sure that government delivered value to taxpayers. And what we got now is an exercise that's really aimed at crippling government, and so that they can sort of use its mangled remains for their own enrichment and the demonstration of their own power.
Right, and to say that government doesn't work. Yeah. And Proxmire, of course, tried to save money without that pain. And a lot of people have forgotten that Bill Clinton balanced the budget without doing any of mm-hmm. this, without cutting government at all, mm-hmm. just by increasing taxes on the wealthy.
But that's exactly what they won't do, is increase taxes on the wealthy. Yeah. And I think even as we try to preserve those valuable programs and policies, the message still has to be that what they are trying to do is finance $4 trillion worth of tax cuts for the rich. And what we should be doing is asking everybody to pay their fair share. Mm-hmm. We should be asking billionaires to pay taxes.
That's it. Right,
and one of the things I say in the article is that we've got a whole bunch of billionaires who don't pay taxes, and we are deporting people who do pay taxes.
Yeah.
So, I said, it's not like we're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. We're throwing paying passengers overboard to make more room for a bigger first class for those freeloaders who are lounging there. That's what we're really doing here.
That's right.
And that's got to, we've got to keep our eyes on that central mission of theirs. What DOGE is all about is creating cover for $4 trillion worth of tax cuts for the rich.
Right, exactly. And I think one of the interesting things about what they're doing with deportations is they're taking people who are here legally, have been given work visas that are student visas. These are people that are going to help society in the long run, and they're tossing them out of the country, which is egregious. I mean,
you've talked about this before, but we've got migrant workers, farm workers. We've got people who are cleaning hotel rooms, doing all these things. They're working every day. They're paying taxes in this country, but they're not going to be eligible for Social Security. They're not eligible for Medicare.
They pay it.
They're paying for these things, but they're never going to get any of these benefits.
It's propping up our system. Mike McCabe from Substack, thanks for joining us again. Great discussion. We have so many more things to talk about, but we don't have time. John and Gordy in the morning. John Peterson in for Gordy, who is out ill. I'm glad to have filled in for him this morning. And producer
Stephanie
Sam.
Miller's up next.
Thank you.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.